The Punt, William Hill's Top Flight Football Podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt Podcast. Production values have taken a little bit of a hit this week for the internationals. Last time we had lots of guests on and tried to make it into a real show, Lee. This week, I'm not saying to the detriment of the podcast, but there's just me and you here.
Yeah,
Mr.
I mean, I think the producer's gone away on international duty. So all of a sudden, just us. That's not a reflection of the of how good these games are, though, is it?
No, some of these are still absolute belters. You can't say that any of these matches are one-sided.
Which ones would you say were belters?
Let me look through the list.
Scotland Georgia is probably the best
Scotland,
of the lot.
Scotland Georgia, yes, probably. We start off, Mr. Phelps, with England versus San Marino, which is this evening, 7:45 p.m. kickoff. England 1-100. The draw in the betting at 16-1, and San Marino are 100-1. San Marino have lost every one of their last 64 qualifier matches since a 1-1 draw with Latvia back in 2001. They've not scored in an away qualifying match since April 2001 either. Everyone remembers when they scored against England back in 93.
That was with home advantage, though, wasn't it?
It was with home advantage, and it was because of an almighty cock-up from Stuart Pearce. Tried to pass the ball back to David Seaman, and they nicked in there and scored one. But I think what affected England in that first match against Switzerland was my tirade against Roy Hodgson prior to the match. I think that really...
Rumours are they played this podcast in the changing rooms before. It's kind of like the modern version of pinning it on the wall. they pinned it to their ears in audio form.
Absolutely. I think it galvanised the England team.
No doubt.
They went on to win against Switzerland and perform pretty impressively in that match as well, Lee.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you're San Marino, not scored since this, that and the other.
Yes.
I've done a little bit of research. I'm hoping this becomes stat of the week. There's no one to compete with me, so I'm thinking it has to be stat of the week.
I've got some good ones.
San Marino, away in qualifiers.
Yep.
European and World Cup qualifiers. You know what the aggregate score is? 303-4.
Is it really?
303 goals against 4 goals for. That's staggering, isn't it? England account for 11 of those goals. 5 of them in 2012, of course, when Rooney got 2. And a certain Mr. Welbeck got a couple as well. Oxlade-Chamberlain also scored in that 5-0. In the 6-0, previous to that, David Platt got 4 of them. So that was way back when. Look, I expect a similar thing to happen in this game at Wembley. You know, I personally don't see why you wouldn't just put out your strongest team and give them the right tonking. You know, hurts no one. It's a run out. They're not really going to get close to England. We know that the tactics from the San Marino team will be, and that will be try and keep it tight early and then, you know, see where you go from it. That's not going to happen, though. I think we're too good for that, really. We being England. I mean, their recent form in the World Cup qualifiers, lost 3-0 to Moldova, lost 9-0 to Ukraine. I mean, that's, you know, Ukraine beating you 9-0. You know, there's something seriously wrong there. Poland beat them 5-0, of course, in the World Cup qualifiers as well. So, look, they're no good. You know, it's debatable whether they should even be in the qualifiers because they don't seem to be getting an awful lot better, to be fair. Lithuania only beat them 2-0. Look, there's a few bets that you could have. I mean, a lot of them revolve around lots of goals. Wayne Rooney to score a hat-trick and England to win 7-1. Now, he scored 2 in that 5-0 win. I think that's a good bet.
Yeah.
I mean, he's talking today about it being after that record. You know, he's not many goals away from being the all-time England top scorer. He could quite easily overtake Jimmy Greaves, you know, in the next couple of games. I think Rooney will be up for this. You know, the fact that, you know, he hasn't played for his club for a week or so, he'll be well rested. So I'm not going to mess about. I think that's a good price. The England win is an absolute given, isn't it? So you're asking, you're basically getting 7-1 for Rooney to score a hat-trick when he's 4-1 in the actual
scorers' market. Yeah.
You're getting 3 points extra, DK. It looks a tremendous bet to me. And if he gets one early, you're off your seat then, aren't you? You're cheering everything he does from that point on penalties as well. I don't think you need to go any further than that. I think Hills are giving away a great bet there. 7-1. Oh,
you know what?
Massive.
I think
you could have given fives and everyone would have been happy.
This is a good game for Wayne Rooney because, in my opinion, this is it for him. This is definitely the twilight of his career right now.
Right.
He's maybe got 2 years left at the top level. That tackle on Stuart Downing the other week, that was born out of frustration, really, because he can't do the things that he used to be able to do as quickly. Mind's still working, body not responding like it used to, in my opinion,
you're saying that because the San Marino players, I mean, their bodies won't be able to move anywhere near as quick as the England players, will they? San Marino, what would you say they are? Not even conference level, are they?
No, I don't think so. They're going to get stuffed here.
If a conference team played England, they would be organised, wouldn't they?
Yes.
And they'd probably lose, but they wouldn't lose heavily, would they? On a one-off game, a conference team.
5 or 6 maybe, wouldn't they?
Do you think?
Yeah,
I don't think so. I think they'd probably be very, very organised and maybe get beat by 4.
A bet that I quite like here, Mr. Phelps, is England's highest scoring half to be the second half. Even money. I know the tie could possibly scupper you there, but a high goals expectation lends itself to this bet, in my opinion. They've scored 9 of their last 11 in all competitions in the second half, England. Mm-hmm. San Marino might be able to frustrate for maybe 15, 20 minutes in that first half. The longer the game goes on, the more shattered the San Marino players are going to get.
Fair.
I quite like that even money.
Yeah, I can see why. It looks sensible. I mean, against Moldova, all 3 goals were scored in the second half. Against Ukraine, 5 of the 9 were scored in the second half. There's a friendly against Italy, which was a tie, but we won't count friendlies for the purpose of this. In the Poland game in the World Cup qualifiers, 3 of the 5 came in the second half. So I don't need to go on. You know, you get the gist. It's a good bet, I think.
Yeah.
The reason for it works out, doesn't it? I mean, you know, I can't even see England being that frustrated, can you? I mean, you know, I was looking at, you know, thinking, well, how can you oppose England in any way, shape or form? I don't think you can. I mean, we haven't got any handicap markets to look at, have we? The match handicaps are all around England minus whatever. So, you know, you've got minus 5.5 goals at 8 to 15, minus 6.5 at 10 to 11.
Yeah.
Look, I'd rather go for a correct score if I'm going for that. I'd rather go England 7-0, 8-1.
Yeah, you could maybe Dutch a few correct scores, play maybe six through to 10, something like that.
I would like
to
see the handicap market, so I'd like to see what price San Marino would be like, plus 5.
Yeah, England
England don't
price.
Often absolutely tonk teams, do they? I mean, they didn't tonk San Marino like Ukraine did or like Holland did. Holland beat them 11-0, remember, in the last European qualifiers.
No, but even in 93, after they conceded early, they still won that game 7-1.
Yeah.
Then they've subsequently beaten them 5-0 and 8-0 in the World Cup qualifiers. So they can put 5, yeah. 6, 7, 8 past them easily.
Rooney, you know, incidentally, he's on 41 goals from his 97 caps. He needs 3 more to equal Jimmy Greaves. 4 will overtake him. He needs another 9 goals to be the all-time England goal scorer.
Which is incredible, isn't it?
Well, he won't be remembered, DK, in the same breath as Sir Bobby Charlton, Gary Lineker and Jimmy Greaves, will he? He won't be. Even if he tops that chart, he won't be remembered with such fondness. Jimmy Greaves' record, look at that record. It's like Messi-esque. 44 in 57. An average of 0.77. That's incredible. You know, yeah. Rooney's done it in 97 games. Jimmy Greaves did his 44 in 57 games. Wow. What a ratio that is. Nearly as good as Nat Lofthouse. 13-33.
Wow.
Good.
That's good. So you're playing the headline offer.
I'm happy with that.
Wayne Rooney to get a hat-trick, England to win at 7-1. England are given, so basically Rooney just to get the hat-trick at 7-1. And I like the highest scoring half, England in the second half, even money.
The other reason for the Rooney thing, by the way, is that he's still got a couple of games out, hasn't he? For Man U.
Yep.
So there's no reason to rest him. Play him for the full match, I think. And obviously, I hope he doesn't bring him off. I hope he gives him the 90 minutes and lets him lead the team to a big victory.
Wales versus Bosnia is next. This is a Friday evening kickoff, 7:45 p.m. Wales 5-2, the draw 2-1, Bosnia 5-4. Much more competitive as far as the betting is concerned. Wales trying to ride Gareth Bale into the Euros, but we already knew that, Lee. Eventually got the better of Andorra on that rotten 3G pitch in the first qualifier. Different kettle of fish entirely against Bosnia, who were inexplicably beaten 2-1 by Cyprus at home in their first qualifying match, which was an incredible result, really. They do have a good record, Bosnia, away from home in recent times. Unbeaten in 8 away internationals, a run that started, incidentally, with a 2-0 win against Wales. In the opening round of qualifiers, only Croatia had more possession than Wales. Croatia had 78% possession, but were still beaten by Cyprus. Wales had 77% possession, went on just narrowly to beat Andorra. There's big problems, though, for Nathan Coleman as far as the injury list is concerned. Midfielders Aaron Ramsey and Joe Allen, already absentees. They would have played a big part in this match. Defenders James Collins and Paul Dummett, and midfielder Lee Evans out as well. Cardiff's Declan John and Crawley's Joe Walsh have come in to replace those defenders that are out. And they are seriously stretched at the moment, Wales.
Yeah. I've got one big question for you, though.
Go on.
Who's Nathan Coleman?
Did I say Nathan Coleman?
Yes. Chris Coleman,
Chris
of course.
Coleman.
Yeah, yeah. But you're right. 10 first teamers out at the minute. But, you know, the most important one, Gareth Bale, is in.
Yes.
You know, and like you say, everything has to revolve around him, doesn't it? Especially for my Gareth Bale to come in the top three in Sports Personality of the Year bet, which you can still get at around 50-1, by the way. He's just been named. Surprisingly enough, he was named the Footballer of the Year by the Welsh FA, which I was surprised about. My spotty bet was all born out of the idea that the Welsh public would get behind him when he not only beats Bosnia on his own, but also beats Cyprus on his own, which is the next game that Wales play as well. So well, let's see. Obviously, he's an unbelievable player. Let's see what price he is. 66 is now. He just keeps getting bigger.
He's 16-1 without Rory McIlroy, who is a long odds-on favourite.
You need him to finish second there, don't you?
It's only taken four or five punt podcasts, before we've mentioned the sports personality.
It's pretty much done, isn't it? Yeah, I mean, those injuries are a major problem for them. You know, I think Bosnia will kind of come out a little bit hurt after that result against Cyprus, which, as you well described, was a real upset, and against the form as well. You look at their World Cup qualification campaign, Bosnia, which was the last one, obviously, which got them to Brazil. Won in Lithuania, won 2-1 in Slovakia, beat Latvia 5-0, drew 0-0 with Greece, who have a very good home record in qualifiers, and beat Liechtenstein 8-1. Wasn't the strongest group, of course, but they are good results, and they've obviously got some quality players as well. If you look, we know a few of them. Edin Dzeko is probably the most notable one for us at the moment. 37 goals in 67 caps for his country. Mohamed Besic for the Everton youngster, he's in there as well, as is Begovic from Stoke City. So a few that we recognise from the Premier League.
Yeah, and the player that I like most, and you're hovering over him now. Miralem Pjanic for Roma. He was incredible, I thought, against Manchester City once again. He's got 9 goals from in his 53 international appearances. I love him. I think he's one of the... I'd call him a neat player. He's one of the neatest players in Europe at the moment.
I like it. I was looking at the scorers' markets. Gareth Bale and Edin Dzeko to score at any time, 9-2. I think it'll be a draw. I can't see Wales being quite good enough to beat Bosnia. I think Bosnia will be very cagey here. I think they'll sit in and they'll be happy to let Wales pass the ball around, and they'll hit them hard. And I think they've got the players who can score goals. I wouldn't be surprised if it is a 1-1. And why not just take the best two players in each team, or the most likely to score, Gareth Bale, Edin Dzeko, both to score anytime, 9-2.
Yeah, I like it. I like the Bosnians here, 5-4. Pretty. I thought they were good in the World Cup. I think that result against Cyprus will turn out to be an anomaly, and that might get them fired up for this game as well. Interesting match though. Wales 5-2. The draw 2-1. Bosnia in the betting at 5-4.
Only won one game in the World Cup. They beat Iran. I mean, I thought they were good against Argentina for a long time when they were allowed just to sit in and press Argentina. Against Nigeria, I think they struggled because they had to go and make the game a bit more. And I think when they have to make the game, that's where they get a little bit found out. I think Wales might come at them a little bit naive in a way. I think they might look and try and attack too much. So I can see why you're going for Bosnia, but I'll favour the draw on the outright. It's only 2-1. It's pretty short for a draw price, that. But yeah, I like that best out of the three. But Bale and Dzeko to score, 9-2 is mine.
I wonder where I've got Nathan Coleman for. Nathan Coleman?
I don't know. It sounds like he should be someone famous.
He should be someone
famous. I'll Google it while you're introducing the next game.
Yes, Scotland versus Georgia is the next match. Saturday, 5 p.m. kickoff. This one. Scotland 8-11. The draw 23-10, and Georgia in the betting at 9-2. Two headline offers here. Stephen Naismith is the Scottish headline offer. Stephen Naismith to score and Scotland to win is in the betting at 5-2. Obviously one that automatically Mr. Phelps appeals. Naismith and Scotland at 5-2. As far as the match is concerned and the opening round of fixtures, Scotland gallant in defeat in Dortmund, losing to Germany 2-1. Thomas Muller the difference. Georgia, though, also beaten in the opening round of fixtures. They went to the... Also, they were at home to the Republic of Ireland and lost 2-1. There seems to be, to me, a lot of optimism within the Scotland squad. I think we've talked about this on previous podcasts, Lee. Gordon Strachan's definitely instilled a belief in his team. And prior to that defeat against Germany, they had gone 6 unbeaten. I was looking at the qualification prices in Group D.
Yeah.
The Republic 11-8 to qualify. Yeah. Scotland 15-8. I almost think that's the wrong way around.
Yeah, I think we... I don't know if we did a kind of a preview of the groups on... Oh, it's when we spoke to... when we had guests, wasn't it? When
it
we
was.
Spoke to David Donaldson and...
you know, when we produced that podcast
Brian
with
Smith.
High production values.
Wasn't it? Brian Smith, yeah. And I think they
we'll
both agreed
that,
with
by
that.
The way.
I think Brian agreed that Scotland were the value in that, and I think so too. I mean, Republic are a good side, obviously. I mean, this is a tough old group to get out of. Germany and Poland at top of the group at the moment with the Republic, but those two on goal difference, so a tough one. But I can see why you'd say that. I can see, and Scotland have to win these games, though, don't they? It's all right going to Germany and being plucky in defeat, but they have to win these games. Look, listening to Gordon Strachan and knowing what he's like as a manager. A former punt regular and veteran, Ron Atkinson, obviously knows him very well and often spoke to us about him and how he was suited to this job. Gordon Strachan's talked about any player that comes in has to fit into his system, has to be able to play the way he wants his Scotland team to play. And what that says to me is that he's got very definite ideas of how he wants his team set up and how he wants them to approach the game. Doesn't matter who comes in and comes out of the team. You know, he's got players who believe in him and want to play for him. You know, until that Germany game, which, you know, they weren't ever going to win, were they, really? They'd been unbeaten for the previous 6 matches. You know, a couple of friendlies in there. But that also included the win in Macedonia and the win at home to Croatia to finish off the World Cup qualifying group, which gave them a lot of hope. They've since gone to Poland and won, which bodes pretty well. Drawn 2-2 with Nigeria and then that 2-1 defeat to Germany. I'm going to side with Scotland here. Georgia have got a terrible away record in qualifiers. In the World Cup qualification campaign, the last one, they lost in Spain, France, Belarus and Finland. Hard group, obviously. And they haven't won a World Cup qualifier since beating Kazakhstan in 2005. In terms of European qualifiers, last time they won a European qualifier was back in 2006 when they beat Faroe Islands 6-0. So very poor away from home. I expect Scotland, with the firepower they've got, to be able to beat this team. Stephen Fletcher scored 2 in his last game, of course, in the Premier League. You've mentioned Naismith. Chris Martin, you know, great player from the Championship. They've got goals in them, this team, and they've got some very good forward-looking players as well. I wouldn't be surprised if Scotland score 3 here and really get after them.
Interesting name in that goal scorer list as well. Ryan Gold from Sporting Lisbon. A lot of talk about him. Just 18 years old, he's been getting in the Sporting Lisbon first team this year. Started 8 of 9 for Lisbon and got a goal as well. And he possesses something that's... I don't think I'm being overly insulting saying this. He possesses something that's very rare in Scottish football, that touch of creativity. He is a really creative player. Lots of talk in the lead-up to this match about him and about whether he's going to play. Strachan insists that he's coming here to experience what it's like being part of the international setup. But Mark McGee has talked about him playing this match, so it will be interesting to see if he starts. He's also talked about the importance of handling the pressure going into this game as favourites. So I think they've already worked out that it's all right being plucky in Germany when you're an underdog, but you've got to be able to handle the pressure when you're expected to win.
Yep.
And Scotland are.
Yeah, definitely. But it's not about price, 8-11. You know, Georgia aren't all that. You know, they're full of players from Ukrainian top division and Eastern Europe. The most capped player is David Kvikvela. It's 57 caps. It's not the most experienced of squads. Another player from the Scottish ranks who shone in Germany, who gave them kittens, was Anya, the young lad. Not saying to score, but if they play you know, the likes of Dorans, Anya, Gold, any one of those three or two of those three, then it will be an attacking lineup from Scotland. I think they might go for this. I was really surprised to see over 2.5 goals at odds against. 6-5 for over 2.5 goals. I like that. You look at Scotland, I mean, I know they won 1-0 against Lithuania in the last European qualifier game. But, you know, the last few games, you know, they've played in have been, you know, over 2.5. I think it could easily happen. Wouldn't be surprised if Georgia score, but I think Scotland can get 2 or even 3. I'll go with Scotland 8-11 just to win. I like both teams to score as well. You could lump those together and you get Scotland, both teams score 100-30. But you know, how can I desert Naismith to score and Scotland to win 5-2? The both teams to score bets probably a little bit
scored
better.
Scored again the other day, didn't he?
Did you see it actually?
Yeah,
great header.
It was great.
It was a great header.
It just came underneath him slightly, yeah. Didn't it? And he,
one of them,
yeah,
kind of twist your neck jobs.
It was a very, very good
header. Quality. Maybe not quality.
No,
he's in the right place at the right time often.
Yeah, and he's proving himself to be adaptable and very adept at getting into position, which is a skill in itself. Let's move on. Let's have a look.
Why are
at
your
the
teeth so gritted when you say that?
Republic of Ireland versus Gibraltar.
Oh, my
5 p.m.
me.
Kickoff on Saturday night. The Republic of Ireland 1-50. I think they were 1-100 when I looked at this match. They're 1-50 now.
You know what that is, don't you?
The draw 8-1. Gibraltar in the betting at 50-1. We've talked a little bit about the Republic of Ireland. They got a good win in Georgia. It will be plain sailing for them against Gibraltar, who lost 7-0 to Poland in their opening qualifier. This is Martin O'Neill's first competitive home game as well, so no doubt the players will be fired up for this, but they can also be forgiven for maybe looking forward, in inverted commas, to their trip to Gelsenkirchen on Tuesday to take on Germany. As far as team news is concerned in this one, Seamus Coleman, a big absentee, not necessarily an issue here, but it will be on Tuesday night, and Martin O'Neill has brought in the uncapped Hull City fullback Brian Lenihan to cover for Coleman. He hasn't even played a competitive match for Hull since signing in August, so obviously he's a huge downgrade on what Seamus Coleman can do.
Yeah. But it doesn't matter, does it?
Not in this
match. You're playing against Postman and what have you in this game. You know, the reason they've been backed in is because all the bookies in Gibraltar have probably had a little bet on Gibraltar out of fun. How many bookies will you see in Dublin this weekend, by the way? It's going to be good fun to go and watch this. The one thing you can say in Gibraltar's favour is that they've never lost away from home.
Yep.
Drawn, then had one game, drew with Estonia, which actually isn't a bad result. I don't know what team Estonia, I remember that game, I don't know what team Estonia put out, but Estonia are England's next opponents, remember, after San Marino, so it'll be interesting to see if they've improved at all. But they got a rude awakening, obviously, in that first game when they were tonked 7-0 by Poland. I know a lot of people listened to In Play Radio on William Hill were on the Lewandowski hat-trick or more, and he managed to bag 4 in the end. Again, a little bit like when you were talking about England, San Marino, and more goals in the second half.
Absolutely.
I think 1-0 at half-time, Poland led. Scored 6 in the second half, and fitness is everything, isn't it, really, in these games. You're playing a tough, resilient Republic of Ireland team who've got, you know, you mentioned the boss, and obviously Roy Keane sat behind him as well with his beard, obviously lambasting everyone on the training ground. But you know,
you've been to see Robbie Savage this morning.
Oh, yes, I have.
Obviously, it's all over Twitter, all over the BBC website now. Talking about his opportunity to play under Roy Keane at Stoke and how it never materialised because of his daft phone message or answering machine message on his mobile phone. Truth in that?
Yeah, I've just done a Vine actually. I'll play it to you. Let me just see if I can get it. I mean, obviously you haven't got the
Roy. Roy, hope your phone's back. I would love to have played for Sunderland.
You need to watch it because he gives them a very funny expression.
Does he really?
Yeah, he's happy about it. He said he laughed his head off when he saw it. So, but he said the actual story. He said he didn't remember that, obviously, but he said that Sunderland did ask about him.
Okay,
but the deal was better with Derby, considering the location as well,
right?
And the package they offered him. So he said he would never have gone to Sunderland. But anyway. Republic of Ireland don't lose to anyone but the best teams at home in qualifiers. You know, you look at the World Cup qualifying competition that's just gone. You know, Sweden beat them, you know, obviously with Ibrahimovic in the team, and you know, Germany beat them as well in that group. The World Cup qualification before that, France beat them. You know, Spain, these kind of teams who beat them. They did lose 3-2 to Russia in the last European qualifying campaign when they went 3 down and almost pulled it back. But they've got a very good home record in qualifiers, that's what I'm trying to say here. And they won't make any mistake here. It's all about goals, isn't it? And in that tight group that you mentioned, goals will be important. So I think when you're looking at an international game, you know, you're looking at them getting maximum points out of this game and as many goals as they possibly can. Because you said they're going to be, you know, have one eye on Germany. They'll know they'll lose in Germany. And I know you don't go into any game thinking you're going to lose. But let's be fair, you know, they won't go into that game thinking anything other than we're going to set up two brick walls in front of our goal and try and defend for our lives. That's what Republic are good at doing anyway. So I think, you know, it's another one where you're looking maybe at your bet. You know, the same thing again, where you look at the second half being the highest scoring. If Gibraltar can keep it tight for maybe 30 minutes or so, and then Republic maybe get one or even two before half time, and then maybe stick another three or four past them in the second half, Republic have got obviously quality players. And, you know, Gibraltar, it's fantastic they're involved and all the rest of it, but they are part timers.
No, I agree.
It'd be like you playing against world-class players.
Yeah, and
to be fair to you, I think you and your friends who play on a Wednesday night would keep it tight for about, what, 30 seconds?
At least 30 seconds. If you'd have seen us last night, you wouldn't even think it'd last 30 seconds, in all honesty.
Would you beat Gibraltar?
No, we'd get stuffed by Gibraltar the way we're playing at the moment.
Why don't they do this? Why don't they have a tournament, a mini-tournament, between Gibraltar, Liechtenstein, Faroe Islands, San Marino, Andorra? We'll say Kazakhstan are at the next level. I think I've just named the bottom six in European rankings. The best one of those gets to play in this bit of it. Why should they be playing? It's ludicrous.
Now I can see where you're
coming
from.
They should be playing, I mean, but they should play themselves.
They
get a bit of confidence as well. They
should all play together, and then whoever wins that group gets into the Euros automatically.
No, they get into the qualifiers. Or they're allowed to pick a team from all six.
Yes, that would be good.
The minnows. Like an X Factor when they have them people who come on who can't sing.
Yeah.
At the end, the freak kind of people, in the best possible sense of the word. That's what we should have, the minnows, and they get to go into play in the European qualifiers.
I like this idea.
This is a serious point, though. They should have a pre-qualifying campaign.
Yes.
Because how can this do your confidence any good just to get smashed to bits every week? 303, four, remember.
They probably enjoy the travel, don't they? Must enjoy
it'll be
travel.
A nice weekend in Dublin, I suppose. But I like that bet. You know what? You know the more goals in the second half bet.
Limited markets here, by the way, Lee. Only 15 markets at time of recording. I think given this is a Saturday match, hopefully by the time the match arrives, we'll have more markets on this one. I do think you're probably not going to be able to play it as a double, but I do like the second half highest scoring half in both these matches with the heavy odds on favourites. So England highest scoring half to be the second half, and the same with the Republic against Gibraltar as well.
Yep.
I think Gibraltar can hang on for 20 minutes maybe at a push.
20, you think 20?
I do think they could maybe hang on for 20 minutes at a push.
Yeah.
But then fatigue's going to set in badly in that second half. So the Republic 1-50, draw 8-1, Gibraltar 50-1, Saturday 5 p.m. kickoff.
I suppose it'd be daft not to look at Robbie Keane, checking team news.
Yeah.
But you know, he's such a great goal scorer for his country.
6-4 to get two or more.
That's not bad. I mean, he's in good form for LA Galaxy at the minute. He scored five in the last three. And a brace in each of the last two, and Galaxy won 3-0, 4-0. You know, he's just a fantastic player, isn't he? And we know he's scored so many goals for Ireland as well. It's gone a few games without a goal now, friendlies. But, he scored against Kazakhstan in that last World Cup qualifier, scored against Latvia. So I think if I had to go with anyone, it would be him to score a brace. More.
6-4 for that. Let's finish off with Northern Ireland against the Faroe Islands. This is a Saturday 7:45 p.m. kickoff. A Group F match, this one. Northern Ireland 2-7, the draw 7-2, and the Faroe Islands in the betting at 14-1. Two headline offers: Chris Brunt to score and Northern Ireland to win 3-1, Arnbjorn Hansen to score and the Faroe Islands to win 33-1. Great start for Northern Ireland with the win in Hungary. Late goals from Niall McGinn and Kyle Lafferty. They won 2-1. The Faroe Islands were beaten by Finland at home 3-1. This is the match that I think is maybe not as straightforward as the betting suggests, this one. I know we've been through the first four matches and they especially England and Republic, look like heavy odds on going to win. Maybe not in this case. Northern Ireland's dismal World Cup qualifying campaign. During that campaign, they were held at home by Azerbaijan and Luxembourg and beaten in the reverse fixtures. They do have previous with the Faroes as well. Drew 1-1 with them in Toft Tier. That was the beginning of the end, if you remember, for Nigel Worthington.
Yep.
That was during the last European Championship campaign. Admittedly, for full transparency, they did beat them 4-0 at Windsor Park.
Yep.
But they've only kept one clean sheet in the last 15 competitive internationals. Maybe not as straightforward as the betting suggests, this one.
No, often you find that it's probably the hardest country to call in from a betting perspective, because you absolutely you go against them with everything you've got when they go to a reasonable team or even a good team and they pull results out of the bag. I mean, I'm not saying Hungary are that good, but decent. Came third in their qualifying group for the World Cup, so you know, not a bad side. And then you lump on everything you've got when they play, you know, a team like this, and they go and make a real hard job of it.
Yeah,
Paddy McCourt's interesting. He's been brought into the team. He hasn't played for his country since last March, but in that 4-0 win, he was the man who scored two of them. And you know, and Michael O'Neill's talked about him being the kind of man who can open up a team like the Faroe Islands. I mean, Michael O'Neill says the Faroes will try to be hard to break down. A lot of strong teams haven't found it easy against them recently. I'm struggling to figure out which ones. I mean, Kazakhstan, you wouldn't class as being a strong team. Faroes went in the lead there. Sweden scored after 35 minutes and then, admittedly, didn't score again until, you know, the 80th minute. That's Sweden. That's what they do there. They just kind of pass it around. They weren't ever in trouble. Republic beat them 3-0 and, you know, Robbie Keane scored in the 5th, 56th and 81st minute. Austria beat them 6-0 in the World Cup qualifying campaign, scoring after 8 minutes, 20, 28, blah, blah, blah. Germany beat them 3-0, Gutsa scored after 28. You know, I don't see where any of these strong teams are struggling to get past them.
Surely that's just a quote to dampen expectation a little bit.
Maybe, yeah, but you shouldn't be doing that, should you? You should be going all out for the win here, really, you'd think so. You know, that's what they've got to do. Surely they can't struggle against the Faroe Islands.
I fancy the Faroes
to
get something. Honestly, I think they're
DK.
Going to draw.
Draw?
I do.
Oh my goodness!
I don't know if I'd back it at 7-2, but
well, what about Faroe Islands plus 2 goals at 19-20?
That's a good bet.
You think so?
I think so. I do think so. What are you going for?
I don't know.
Before you decide, here's a trivia question for you: what sets Gunnar Nielsen apart from any other Faroe Islands player to ever feature in the national side?
Has he scored in more than one game?
No.
Go on, tell me.
Only player to play in the Premier League.
Oh, right.
Played for Manchester City.
Yeah, fair enough.
He was there from, I think he was there for 3 years in the, from 2009 to 2012, and he got one league appearance for Manchester City in 3 years, Gunnar Nielsen. But that's what sets him apart. And I think he's retired subsequently, I think. But that's what sets him apart anyway. So have you made your mind up yet?
Not particularly, no. I'm just looking at the team news. I was looking to see if McCauley was playing. I haven't got the team news here, but I always like Gareth McCauley to score in this. It's he's 19-5 to score any time. Comes up from the back, very good at set pieces. I think that's where the Faroes might be found out. Look, I think Northern Ireland will win it and win it by 3 goals. In the end, I think there will be over 2.5 goals in the match. It's just
we're taking each other on a little bit,
trying to find the value. Yeah, I mean, I do this all the time, DK, and get chinned every time. So you're probably right about this. I always trust the Northern Irish. I like them. They've got to get it done here. I really think they've got to get it done after that good performance. They've got to back it up. I'll go for. I'm just looking if there's a match result. Usually we have the team to win and both and over 2.5 goals. Just seeing if, yeah, Northern Ireland to win and over 2.5. Oh, God, 17-20. Can't back that either. Hard work, this, isn't it? I'll go for Gareth McCauley to score a goal then.
19-5.
19-5. Yeah, I'll trust. I trust McCauley. But like I said about McCourt, you know, if he is in the team, he might not be the worst price in the world at 17-10. Got form against these before, and obviously the manager's been talking him up quite a lot in the press. So one of those two. I'll stick with McCauley at the bigger price.
Thank you, Mr. Phelps.
You're welcome.
Enjoyed that.
Not doing a bet of the week.
No bet of the week. My bet of the week's that if they ever put the full markets out for the Republic match.
But we're not including it in the table.
No, we're not including it in the table. We'll talk more about the Naps.
Fair enough.
You always try and bring this up. We'll talk more about the Naps next week.
I was only asking because I'd like to go for my hat trick in the Premier League rather than just do it in internationals.
I didn't get the opportunity to reflect on last week's Premier League action because Mark Walton obviously did the punt with you on Monday afternoon, which was a shame.
Tom Kerwin landed as well.
Yeah, he did.
And you were chinned on the two. Fair, you were chinned by a 96th minute goal.
I'm still getting over that. I said I was confident with the treble. It was 7.6-1, and that's annoying. Thank you for ending the podcast on that note. We'll speak again soon, folks. International weekend. I know you all love it. Get your bets on for tonight's match in particular. England taking on San Marino, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.